How much is too much to pay an energy trader?
You're going to have to pay me $1 million. Sorry. $100 billion.
At a time when most salaries are flat or frozen, Citigroup wants to pay its energy wizard Andrew Hall $100 million. Hey, economists say the recession is over, but is there really such a thing as a $100 million man? We'll do the math on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, August 14th. I'm Catherine Lanfer in here with Celeste Headlee. Hey, Celeste.
Good morning, Catherine. Coming up this hour, we'll remember Les Paul. He revolutionized rock with his electric guitar. Wilco's guitarist is going to talk about his legacy. And does the advertising world of Mad Men ring true? We'll get the facts from an ad exec.
But first, we are here with Alvin Hall, Takeaway contributor and money mastermind. All right, Alvin. Economists do say the recession is rebounding. Does this mean that also huge compensation for bankers and traders is rebounding?
It is rebounding. Companies are having record profits, and many of them have decided, especially in the financial markets, that they really need to pay the top talent in order to keep them there.
Yeah, but whose money is it, Alvin?
That's the big question.
All right, you stay with us. We're going to finish our conversation in just a moment. But first, everything you need to know this morning. In the headlines, President Obama pitches his health care plan out west. He'll be in Montana for a town hall meeting today. Critics of his health plan to protest. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says a revised war plan for Afghanistan will not contain a request for more troops. The top American commander will submit a much-awaited analysis in the coming weeks.
Disgraced football player Michael Vick will soon be back on the field. The Philadelphia Eagles have signed him. Vick was gone from the league while serving a prison sentence for running a dog fighting ring. And thousands of firefighters are battling multiple California fires. One of the worst is just south of San Francisco. Thousands are having to flee their homes there.
Some big economic indicators are out later this morning, and we will give you the latest on all of those, including retail prices. Golf's PGA Championship tees off again today. Tiger Woods in the lead. It's his last chance to win a major tournament this year. Wall Street moved up a little bit yesterday. The Dow starts trading today, 93.98. The S&P begins at 10.13, and the NASDAQ opens at 20.09. Now, as we were saying, Citibank trader Andrew Hall, he got $100 million last year, Celeste. But come on, who's really worth that much?
I'd have a hard time answering that question.
Well, we'd like to know, who do you think deserves $100 million? You, your kid's school, the federal deficit? Call us and tell us why, or why anyone you know deserves a $100 million payday. And remember to give us your reasons why. All right, Alvin, who do you know who deserves $100 million?
I recently did a BBC series about executive pay, and there was one person whose name came up repeatedly.
Yes.
Steve Jobs, Apple. Everybody says that he deserves it because he's a visionary leader. He was the only name that everybody said deserved it.
What is your name? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee here with Catherine Lanfer. So the Obama administration is starting to look at paychecks for workers at the banks that the government bailed out. The salary of Citigroup trader Andrew Hall has come under particular scrutiny. He earned $100 million last year, and they say he's probably set to earn very similar numbers this year. We've got Alvin Hall here to talk to us about it. Alvin is a financial consultant and a good friend of The Takeaway. So
yes.
Alvin, is this guy worth $100 million?
You know, that was a question that I asked a lot during my BBC series, The Money Grab. And it was always met with two things, silence or laughter. And everybody concluded no one is really worth that amount of money. But in the case of Andrew Hall's case, it's not his salary. It's his entire compensation package. And the way his deal is structured, I believe, at Citibank, is that he shares in the trading profits for his specific division only, not the overall money of Citicorp.
But there are some who say that this whole thing about trying to take a share in the profits is what led us into this quick turnaround
Exactly.
Problem.
But in his case, he is actually a trader. So every day he generates profits and losses on his profit and loss statement. He knows where he stands at the end of every day. The other people they're comparing him to are often the people who marketed all of these derivative products who were not involved in trading them. They got commissions for selling them. And that was a really key difference. So here you're dealing with a trader who either makes money or loses money. If he doesn't make money, he doesn't get this kind of bonus. It's a real tricky situation. And Citigroup entered into the contract with him before the February 11th deadline, which was set by the government.
I was going to say, how much of this, though, is talking about an agreement that was in the past? And what does it say about Citigroup or any other bank, regardless if they were bailed out, if they renege on a contract? What good is a contract?
Exactly. When the government enters into contract negotiations and starts to rule them null and void, it's very dangerous. On this radio show I did called The Money Grab, what was most amazing is that people on the right and people on the left said the same thing. The government should not be involved in setting compensation. They said the government, in doing so, is going to create a marketplace in which people and great talent will leave because we live in a global economy and people can find other places to work. In the New York Times, they said that Citigroup was considering selling off this whole division because of the controversy surrounding it. It's not selling off Andrew Hall, it's Andrew Hall and his group. And with that kind of profits that he's making, he'll find a job like that.
Okay, we're interested to know what you think about all this. Who deserves $100 million in your life? You? Your kid's school? Your teacher? Give us a call at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org and let us know what you think. On the line right now, we have Matt Spaulding. He's the owner of an Atlanta-based public relations firm called Spaulding Communications, and also Judy Coughlin, a clerical worker for the city of Lowell, Massachusetts, in the tax collector's office. Judy and Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Judy, let's start with you. What happened recently? You had to take a pay cut, is that correct?
Yes, we did, actually. We voted as a union, as a group, to freeze our 3% raise that was upcoming.
Do you mind me asking how much you make, the average worker there makes?
The average worker in the city of Lowell makes about $30,000.
So 3%, it seems like a small amount of money, but that makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference, especially with health care going up. Our health care went up at least 10%.
Your health care went up 10%, and you just bypassed a 3% pay raise. And Matt Spaulding, you're the owner of a PR firm in Atlanta. What's been going on with your hiring and firing and pay raises and bonuses? What are you doing to deal with the economic times?
Yeah, well, we actually got hit at the end of 2007 when this economic downturn started. It's been going on for about 20 months. So for all of last year, 2008 was really rough for us. And we restructured some things and did some things differently. We tightened our belts. And to begin 2009, we were actually up from 2008 of last year. But we recognize the economic environment just isn't healthy right now. So we have had a pay freeze on salaries and expenditures because we are just saving every penny we can to put back into the company to make sure that we're healthy and viable for the long term. And so we are not doing salary increases, but we are giving out bonuses where we can based on profits that we're deriving.
Those bonuses, as I understand, are relatively modest.
They are modest. What we've done is to say we've looked at the first half of the year and we've just said, here's our total profit, and let's put 10% back into our people and spread that out among, we have six employees here, and spread that out among the six employees we have here. And the remaining we are putting back into marketing, so we're being aggressive and trying to get our name out in the marketplace. And the other percent of our profits we're just putting basically into capital and saving. And we want to make sure that we're, again, have enough capital on hand to weather this economic storm, however long it lasts.
Okay, Judy, I'm just wondering what your take is. You heard Alvin say that when they polled people, they said that the government should stay out of pay raise discussions. And I'm wondering what you think, having just given up your pay raise. Do you think that having given $45 billion to Citigroup that we have a stake in deciding whether what they can pay or not? Should we stay out of that?
Actually, I feel the government should stay out of commissions, and so even though we did do the bailout, I really don't think it's the government's place.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, what about you?
Oh, I definitely don't think it's the government's place, although there's a big caveat with it, which is, you know, we own, yes, a big stake of Citigroup, and They received $45 billion of our money. And I think that, you know, I'm a free market capitalism kind of guy, and I think if the market, if someone can demand $100 million because the market will afford that, I think that's free market and capitalism at its best. But there's a caveat in today's economy where you have to be smart. I mean, there's a spotlight on Citigroup with getting this taxpayer money bailout, and I think they've got to take that into context and say, wait, maybe this isn't the best time to be giving $100 million to one person, even though his group might have been really, really profitable.
Alvin, you're nodding your head.
Yes, I think that Andrew Hall should have been more aware of the public relations perception of getting that amount of money, and he should have not allowed this, and even though he had a contract, to reach the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, every newspaper, every day, you see Andrew J. Hall. He just should have said, no, I'm going to compromise.
So but with $100 million, he just should have had better PR?
He should have compromised. He should have said to his employer, listen, I know I have this contract, but now is not the time for me to get this amount of money. But I think when you've lived in that alpha male world of $100 million and $100 million year after year after year, it's hard for you to look around at small businesses that sell services and equate yourself with them and see how people like Judy and Matt are actually living. I think it's very hard for him. But somebody should be there to say, listen, we're in a different economy today. You need to do the right thing.
I think Tom Wolfe called them the masters of the universe.
Yes, that's right.
I find that the PR discussion is very interesting because we're talking about people who now are having trouble getting social services at the same time that these banks got billions of dollars.
Absolutely.
So when they see on the front page of a newspaper someone's taking home $100 million and they're unemployed and can't get insurance and all of those things, how would President Obama even justify that and say, you know, most people think we should stay out of this discussion?
You're absolutely right. Most people say he can't justify it. There's no way you can justify one person being worth $100 million. If you divide that among the salaries that all the people in Judith Union are making, is it that much total? I doubt it. Somehow I doubt it. So when you look at that kind of money, it becomes so irrational. It becomes so in this level that most of us can't imagine. But Citigroup entered into this contract with this man before all of this occurred. They have to live up to their contractual obligation.
Let's talk about the salary czar for the Obama administration,
yes.
Kenneth Feinberg. He is making visits, if you will, to all of these different banks, talking to them about the compensation practices and reports. What kind of horse trading do you think is going on?
I think they're just recutting the pie, if you ask me honestly. The real focus has been on the total compensation package and some of the excesses in it. So you're looking at the private jets, the cars. I think that sort of stuff will go away or become much more quietly handled.
Are we talking equity versus money instead?
Exactly. And they'll shift more to long-term incentives like stock option plans that will probably last over 5 or 10 years. So that even though you leave the company, your involvement with the company in terms of decisions that you made early on will continue because of the company does badly, your shares will be worth nothing.
Okay, Alvin Hall is a financial consultant and a Takeaway contributor. I hope that helps you as you're going back in to negotiate pay raises, Judy Coughlin, with the people in your union. She's a clerical worker in the city of Lowell, Massachusetts. And Matt Spaulding, thanks so much. He joined us from his PR firm in Atlanta called Spaulding Communications. We're asking you what your take is on who's worth $100 million.
Hi, this is Mike from Wayne, New Jersey. I think sky is the limit for anybody who is an entrepreneur putting himself and his capital at risk. However, when you work for a big company and you put the company's capital at risk and you're really not taking any personal risk yourself other than possible job loss, I don't think anybody's worth $100 million in that case.
What do you think? 1-878-MY-TAKE at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Let us know who's worth $100 million.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253. You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo. Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.